This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast. I'm Brett, here with Carl. What's going on, man?
No, just you working on the haunted house all day and me just kind of walking around, basically, doing all everything else.
You picked up some shit and cleaned up a few rooms, though, and weed whack, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I just got to get back into the haunt mode. I'm not in it right now.
Plus you've had no sleep. So
I have not slept in basically 3 nights. No, why? I just can't sleep right now. Kind of a tiring evening. Yeah, we're doing this on a Saturday. Usually we have a lot of energy on Saturdays, but Brett's neck's messed up and I'm just exhausted. So we're going to actually do an album tonight.
Yeah, we are.
You know, even Lisa was like, well, I thought y'all did, albums on the midweek. Well, tonight and occasionally we do albums on the full episode, and this is one of our favorite albums. We'll put a question about it. It is Painkiller from Judas Priest. So yes, full disclosure, we like this album, so don't expect us to trash on it too much.
I'm gonna trash the shit out of it.
He's talking before we started about these pictures that are floating around about Ozzy Osbourne looking all frail.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he looked good myself for a man of his age that's been through so many surgeries and so much. He's got Parkinson's. I mean, like, leave the fucking dude alone. He's an old man that's doing good for himself.
Exactly. Well, he's lucky he can move. He had a botched surgery. Move. He's going in for his fourth surgery like in a month.
I would rather Ozzy come out and say, look, I cannot perform, I'm not going to perform, than go out there and fuck up or do whatever. You know, I appreciate his honesty. And yeah. I really think that he's, you know, I my heart's with Ozzy during this. You know, Aerosmith's out on tour. The fourth show, Steven Tyler ripped his freaking vocal cords, was bleeding, had to cancel 30 dates, and there's a lot of question whether or not they're even going to be able to finish this tour.
Yeah, I know.
This is their final tour. You know, our heroes are all old now, and I'm talking about, I'm old. I'm 51. These guys are old, and, you know, posting pictures of Ozzy looking like an old man, I don't care. He's still Ozzy.
I hope I look as good as Ozzy when I'm 70-something.
He's got his hair. His hair looks good. He's got some gray in it. I mean, like, just because he has a cane? Fuck. You know? I mean, Ozzy's still alive. That's great. I wish Ronnie was still around, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so people need to leave Ozzy alone, for God's sakes. This is ridiculous. I guess they think they're embarrassing, and they're embarrassing in themselves.
Well, they started their podcast back up. They had a podcast back in 2018 that they did like one season, I guess you'd call it.
I had no idea, but as y'all know, I'm not a big podcast person. Well, so I didn't even know they had a podcast.
Well, now they came back. They started it back up again, and then they're each doing their own individual podcast too. They do one as the family, as the Osbournes, and then each got their own podcast too. So,
well, I know Ozzy still does the Ozzy Speaks on Sirius XM about once a month. Yep. And he sounds great. You know, for Ozzy, Ozzy's never been able to talk straight.
He looked good. I watched on the YouTube. He looked good, man.
Yeah.
I think,
so
for all the shit he's been through. Shit.
So I don't know how Judas Priest Painkiller turned into an Ozzy Osbourne discussion, but it did.
Well, it did.
You know, I may
Sorry,
have to do
folks.
I've been, I just did Headless Cross from Black Sabbath, and I may just go ahead and do No Rest for the Wicked here soon for a midweek, since I'm on an Aussie kick. So let's get back to where we're going, and it is right. Judas Priest Painkiller album from 1990.
12th studio album. It was recorded from January through March of 1990. And finally released on September 14th of 1990.
Well, you know what took so long for it to get released?
Yeah, I know. The
infamous subliminal message trial is what they called it.
Yep.
So no, I'm not trying to speak ill of anyone who takes their life, because I've had to deal with that with stepsons and nephews. But in this case, these two, I think 20 and 18 year olds, took a shotgun to a park and sort of had a suicide pact. I think that's how it went. They were drinking and smoking pot, and they were listening to Stained Glass, the Judas Priest album. So one offed himself and the other one did. I hate that that happened. But the parents, and again, I'm going to probably get political here. I'm not going to turn total political like some people we know, but the parents were ultra religious freaks and decided they were going to sue Judas Priest because they caused these two young men to harm or kill themselves. Because the second one actually did not die. He got the bullet got lodged and he was crippled, I guess. I don't remember this. This has been freaking since 1990, but he eventually would die of a drug overdose. So one died, the other one died a few months later, I believe, and they sued Judas Priest, saying they had subliminal message in the song. I think it was Better Than You, Better Than Me.
Better By You, Better Than Me off
of... Yeah, I got it backwards. And it said, do it. So they sued Judas Priest. The lawsuit was eventually thrown out, but it took its toll on the band. Halford and KK and Glenn Tipton were there. I don't know about Ian Hill, but they sit through this whole trial, and it really took a toll on the band, and it delayed Painkiller. The album actually didn't get released because people were thinking they might go to prison for this crazy shit.
Yep.
You know, it was a sad, sad story. You know, two men ended up losing their life, and then a bunch of religious fanatic parents, instead of blaming themselves for being shitty parents, blame a band, and the band has to go defend themselves in front of a damn jury. It was terrible. It was one of the worst moments in the history of music for me. And again, I'm not taking anything away from these two poor men that lost their lives, but it was a bad situation.
Yeah.
And I'll shut up now before I piss anybody else off about it, because You,
Better Than Me song, that was a cover song.
Actually, yes, it was.
My Spooky Tooth.
I do think that at one point something came out in the trial, or I may just be making this up after all these years, that they said the only time they ever used a subliminal message in a song was the song Love Bites. So there you go. The Vampire song, Love Bites, from Defenders of the Faith. So anyway, does play, huh?
I guess there's a documentary out on that.
There is a documentary out on it, and I think I tried to watch it once, and it was not a very good documentary.
Okay.
I don't think it was good. I did actually see it, and it's not good at all.
It's called Dream Deceivers, the story behind James Vance versus Judas Priest. Vance is one of the kids that shot themselves, I take it.
Well, like I said, one of the kids died and the other one like lingered on and was I don't know. This whole thing kind of it really makes me upset, because I hate that two young men died, but I also hate the fact that a band was blamed for this shit. When, you know, nobody's going to mention the fact they were smoking pot and drinking alcohol. They're going to blame it on Judas Priest. And, you know, that's part of why I'm not going to get into the religion. Just so everybody knows, I went through a Lutheran school through the eighth grade. I know all about the Bible. I am not anti-church. I'm not anti-Christian. I just hate certain elements of the Christian religion that think they're holier than thou and want to sue a band when a band did fucking nothing wrong whatsoever. So you need to shut me up before I go on a video Bob rant.
Shut up.
Thank you. I will.
All
apologize
right.
Apologize to anyone that might have took offense to that, but I lived through that. I lived through that, and it was a hard time for all of us, for the young men, the families, and the band. I'm done. Right.
It was recorded at Miraval Studios in Corins, France, and Whistle Lured Studios in Hilversum, Netherlands.
Why the hell were they in the France and the Netherlands recording an album for?
Genre, they got it listed as heavy metal and speed metal.
That album is not speed metal.
No, it's more thrash than anything.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who decided it was speed metal, but that is not the proper identifier of Painkiller.
Length of the album is 46 minutes and 8 seconds, released on Columbia Records and produced by Chris. I'm going to screw this fucking name up. To Sandal Grades.
I have never known how to say that man's name, but he's produced a lot of albums that I really like. But I've never found out how to say that gentleman's name. So
I hope,
I'm not even going to try.
Maybe the T is
when
silent.
When I see his name, I call him Chris T.
Maybe the T is silent.
I don't know, but I know he's put out produced a lot of good albums. So shout out to you, Chris T. You're a damn good producer.
All right, Carl, why don't you go over the band members?
Tom Allum was their long time producer since Sad Wings of Destiny. And
I think so.
What am I going over?
The band. Who's in the band, Carl?
Well, you didn't tell me. Brett's already got a buzz on everybody, so I'm just warning you right now.
Oh, shut up.
So Rob Halford is lead singer and vocals. I guess that's the same thing. KK Downing and Glenn Tipton are dual lead guitars. Supposedly Ian Hill played bass on this album, but there's speculation that he did not, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
And this album introduced, replacing Dave Holland, the drummer Scott Travis, who would from Racer X, what was a big Los Angeles band, would bring heavy drums, double bass drums to the band and kick new life into Judas Priest. And he would become the longest drummer that Judas Priest has ever had. It's 2023. Scott Travis is still the drummer.
Yep.
So he actually brought the band back from whatever. I mean, I love Turbo. That's one of my favorite albums. The next one, not so good, but Priest needed a kick in the butt. And they were also, I think, Rob Halford at this time was really starting to get a little maybe tired and going in this heavier direction. I wouldn't call it speed metal, was what the band needed and what Rob Halford needed. And Scott Travis delivered. And I would say right now, if I had to hire a drummer, I would probably hire Scott Travis. If they said, just go hire whoever you want. He would probably be him or Lombardo would be the number one and number two on my list. So much credit to Scott Travis and much credit to his drum work on this album in particular.
Very, some of the fastest drums really at the time, you know?
Yes. I mean, Lombardo might have probably been able to outduke it, but Scott just really shook the band up and they needed it. And then they had to go through this damn trial and sit on the album. It was, I think that's what led to, this would actually be Rob Halford's last album with Judas Priest for like what, 10, 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
I think the trial and it just took a bearing on Priest and it sent KK and Glenn in one direction and Rob in another. And unfortunately, this would be their last album for a long time.
Yep,
but it is
2003 or 2005, I think.
Yeah, it's longer than I mean, it's longer than I thought, really.
Well,
it seemed like it took for it, like it was never going to happen. I had gave up on him ever coming back to Priest, Because he was always like, oh, I love Ripper. He's great with Priest, and I love what I'm doing with the Halford band. So I didn't think they were going to get back together, honestly.
Yeah.
I was really surprised.
That's, it didn't seem that long because Halford still did his solo stuff. He did Fight right when he, after this.
Well, and talking about Fight, the only way he could actually release the Fight album was by actually quitting Judas Priest.
Yep.
So he took exactly. Scott Travis with him to Fight. And so that left KK and Glenn just sitting at home for a few years until they finally got it back together and got Scott Travis back and Ian Hill and, of course, hired Tim Owens and brought the Priest back. But again, we're focused on Painkiller here. I'm giving the whole history of Judas Priest. So, yeah. But it's important because Painkiller. Yeah. Is the album that really took this band in an entire different, not only musical direction, but it took the band in a different direction, period. This is a very, probably the most influential album that Judas Priest released, I would say, ever. I mean, I know people can say British Steel or what, or just name anything. I think Painkiller was definitely the most influential album, not only on music and heavy metal, but on Judas Priest and their lives. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
That's the musicians. Now, the bass.
Yeah.
What do you know about that? Because I wasn't real sure. I never really heard this story before until I started researching the album.
Don Airey,
keyboard player, played with everybody.
Yeah, played
Ozzy,
with everybody.
I think Deep Purple.
Yep. Sabbath.
Supposedly, he touched or keyboarded over the bass or something to give it this sound.
He used a mini Moog bass.
A mini Moog bass, whatever that is, I have no clue.
It's like a Moog synthesizer, but it's made for bass. So
Ian Hill did not play on this album, apparently. It was done by keyboard.
Yeah.
Well, whatever they did a damn good job.
Yep.
All the songs were written by Glenn Tipton, Rob Halford, and KK Downing, as usual. They wrote everything. Ian Hill never wrote a single song. So let's go over the track list. I'll leave that one to you.
All right. Side one. Also, this came out when there was still vinyl. So.
Well, and I'm also going to interact my comments like I do when I do a midweek album review. So. Give me a second after you say a song and I'll tell you a little bit.
Okay. Track one, we got Painkiller, the title track, and it was also released as their first single.
And did it ever kick the world in its ass?
Yeah, it did. The music now, video is fucking badass.
Talking to John Perez, you know, our buddy up at Born Late Records, he said that a lot of them guys at the time back then that they thought that it was just Priest trying to compete with Slayer, Metallica, and Megadeth. They looked at it a little bit different with the song Painkiller. Because is the rest of the album as heavy as Painkiller? Maybe not. I don't know.
A couple of them are, I think.
Yeah, so let's keep going here.
All right, track two, we got Hell Patrol. What do you got on Hell Patrol?
Sort of a not memorable song.
Oh, I like that song, man.
Don't listen to it that often.
I think it's a good second song straight after Painkiller for sure.
I don't know.
I like it. I
don't dislike it.
I put it in the snippets.
You shouldn't have. You should have put Nightcrawler instead.
I put some stuff in there. You'll see.
I won't because I don't ever listen to the snippets.
Oh, okay. Track three, All Guns Blazing. That's
sort of like this
song, man.
Sort of like it better than Hell Patrol myself.
Yeah.
It is pretty thrash. So yeah, it might be up there with Painkiller.
It's really fast.
It is. More Scott Travis on the drums is a fucking God, that guy is great. He's still good. Yep. Still good.
All right, track four, Leather Rebel.
Throwaway. Don't lie. It's just a typical freaking Judas Priest song.
Yeah, but it's
the whole the whole Priest. Yeah, it was just a throwaway song to me. I don't listen to it.
Same thing with track number 5, Metal Meltdown. It's
I like Metal Meltdown.
I like it, but it's got some great dual guitar work in it for sure. All right, on to side 2, track 6, Nightcrawler.
Now that's my favorite song, or second favorite song on the album.
Yes, mine too. Track 7, Between the Hammer and the Anvil. That's sort of a slower song, I guess.
It is. It's more traditional, a Priestish. I would use that for the word.
And next we got A Touch of Evil.
Probably my favorite Judas Priest song besides Love Bites. I love Touch of Evil. Now it starts off with the keyboard intro, Eerie.
By Don Airey.
Don Airey, exactly. And the video is all about censorship, and I think it stems from the trial a lot. It's a very dark video as well. Definitely my second favorite Priest song of all time is Touch of Evil.
Okay. And that was also released as a single. Next, we got Battle Hymn, dual guitar, basically instrumental. Pretty good guitar work on that one. And rounding out track 10, we got One Shot at Glory.
A song I like a lot.
Yeah, that's a good song.
But wait, there's more.
There's more.
There was a 2001 bonus track remix or remaster.
Yeah.
And it contained the missing song Living Bad Dreams, which was recorded during the Painkiller sessions. Yep. And this song belongs on the album. I was listening to Living Bad Dreams today on my Apple play. It's my Apple Radio, they call it. Again, probably one of my top 5 favorite Judas Priest songs of all time. Because the freaking vocals, actually, listen at this. Rob Halford hit these notes. Great vocals from Rob Halford on Living Bad Dreams. It's a slower song, but it's still got that evil vibe of Painkiller. Yeah. So I don't know why it wasn't included on the original album. It should have been.
Yeah, it probably should have been on there more than a couple of the other songs.
It should have. Luckily, it's now a staple of the album. It's part of it's back where it belongs.
And also, they put a live version of Leather Rebel.
Yeah, I don't know why. Because when they were doing the remasters, they put a live track on each one. So
yeah,
that's just what they threw on there.
That's probably
when they did the remasters.
When they recorded it, you know.
When they did that, actually, Rob wasn't in the band at the time when they were, because I was buying these CDs every time they came out.
Oh, okay.
But I think he was still played a role. They were still in communication with each other, but. I remember Ripper was actually, Ripper would have been in the band by this point. So maybe he had a thing for Leather Rebel because he helped put the stuff together. I remember that.
This says it was recorded at the Los Angeles Forum on September 13th, 1990. So.
Yeah, that was, no, I'm just saying that when they remastered it is when recorded it. This was actually the first show from the tour they did. It was like for like a record industry thing.
I gotcha. All right. Tour.
You want to go over the charts first?
Yeah, go over the charts real quick and I'll pull up the tour stuff while I'm looking.
Everybody thinks that Painkiller was this huge hit. It really wasn't. It debuted at 26 on the Billboard 200, which is good for a Judas Priest album, but I don't think it sold as well as we want to think it did. It actually only went gold in the United States. Yeah. So that's 500,000 copies. So it didn't sell as well as it's remembered for.
I had a copy.
Oh, I've had like 5 copies of it, probably. It did about equal in England. It debuted at 26. So on the charts, I don't know if it was because at the time Judas Priest was sort of thought of as becoming more of a dinosaur band. And the sound change is what kind of gave it its umph, but it wasn't a huge, huge, huge selling album compared to some of their past albums.
Yeah. Usually they go platinum right away. Yeah,
they do. So, again, I think of Painkillers being one of their biggest albums, but chart wise, it wasn't as high as I thought it was. That sort of surprises me. That's all I got on charts. I don't really care what it did in Germany, but it did debut at 7 in Germany. So good job there. Y'all know your real metal.
All right. The tour. They toured for almost 2 years straight on this album.
Yeah, they actually did 2 different tours.
Yeah, they did a U.S. tour, like 30-something dates, starting October 22nd, 1990, in Canada, Ontario.
And they was with Megadeth, I believe, on the tour.
Yep, Megadeth and Testament did the whole tour with them, that part of it, and into 91. And then they went down and played Rock of Rio in January of 91. Then they did a European tour. You know who opened up for them?
In Europe?
Yeah, on this tour.
I think it might have been Pantera.
Pantera and Annihilator.
I think I was right, yeah.
You are correct, sir.
Okay. And I was just guessing on that one, but I thought it might have been.
All right, he don't know everything, fellers, everybody, so.
Well, I was actually right. I guessed it right, so I do know everything. So what's your answer to that? You said, who was it? I told you, and I was like, I had to guess on it, but I guessed right. So Eddie Trunk, bring it on. They need to put me and Eddie Trunk on a show together.
No shit, I'd like to.
Bob could hook that up.
Maybe that would be cool. That would be cool. If you could stump the Trump or the...
Oh, I could stump him. Well, it depends. His knowledge is a little different than my knowledge base. And honestly, the way we do these formats of album reviews, it hurts me because I'm used to just talking free talk, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody likes our free talk. So I have to limit myself to just one album, and it puts me in a corner. But I got Priest and fucking Pantera right, so there you go. Annihilator, I had no idea, but I like Annihilator. Good band.
Yes, they are. And then they came back to the States, did another leg with Alice Cooper, Motorhead, Dangerous Toys, and Metal Church.
That was the Operation show. Rock and Roll Tour, I believe they called it. It was supporting the
Operation
Afghanistan.
The Gulf War or whatever.
The Gulf War, yeah. The 91 war with, the Kuwait war.
Yeah.
And that would be Rob Halford's final tour with Judas Priest until, 2005 or whatever he came back.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So this was sort of a mini festival, I would think. I don't even remember this. I don't remember. It says it came to Dallas, but I don't remember it. I don't remember this at all. Because I think if Priest and if Priest and Cooper had been coming to town, I would have been there for that. So I don't remember this.
Dallas, Texas, the Gexus Energy Pavilion on July 28th, 1991.
Well, 91. I don't know why I missed this, but I don't remember it. I don't even remember ever hearing about it.
Hmm.
So
maybe it was Alice Cooper as the headliner. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't remember this leg of the tour. I didn't go, but I know Starplex or whatever it's called at the time. I was starting to get really fed up with that place by the early 90s. So I would still go if I was forced, but I preferred Reunion Arena. So maybe I knew it and I'm not fucking driving to Starplex. So I don't know. If I'd have known it was going to be Rob Halford's last tour, I would have went for sure.
Plus you got to pay somebody to watch your car when you go down there now.
Well, not in 1991.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Things
we
have
paid some guy
changed.
$20 to watch our car when we went to go see Kiss the last time I went and seen him.
Well, I will never, ever, ever go to Starplex again for any reason. I don't care who plays there, including Iron Maiden.
Yeah, it's, I don't see them playing there, but anyway.
They have in the past.
Yeah. I think everybody's played there.
But I don't remember that part of the tour, so I can't comment on it. I don't. My knowledge is blank on them ever touring with Alice Cooper and a festival. Who else was on it? Dangerous
Festival.
Toys.
Yeah. Dangerous Toys and Metal Church. That would have been a good. And Motorhead.
Oh, Motorhead. I love Lemmy, but God, Motorhead was hard to sit through sometimes.
Depending on,
be hard.
Depending on how much Jack Daniels Lemmy had in him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, what else do we have on Painkiller?
I really don't have nothing else. Would you got anything else? You got any little?
No, I pretty much blew the load with the whole
Court case.
With the whole court case and delaying the album. And like I said, I just can't believe that somebody would be allowed to take a band to court claiming they put subliminal message and cause two people to kill themselves because of a song. I to this day, that just boggles my mind. It just, I don't get it.
I remember watching that on C-SPAN, I think, back in the day.
I think it was on C-SPAN.
It was on C-SPAN, and they were playing the album, and they had somebody spinning the record backwards playing it. I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, what are you going to rate
Painkiller,
Carl?
There are a couple songs that are weaker, so I'll give it a 4.5.
Okay.
I still like Defenders of the Faith better. I know when we did Defenders of the Faith, I said that was my favorite Priest album. It really is. I can't deny that. This is definitely... I think then I may have said 1 and 1A and 1B. So, yeah.
Okay.
My two favorite albums are definitely Painkiller and Defenders of the Faith. But I like Turbo too. So I give it a 4.5. I'm not going to give it a perfect rating because it's not completely perfect. And the keyboard for the bass thing kind of like what?
So you would never know, though. You would never know.
Never knew. Don't even know if that's true or not to this day. Ian Hill needs to write a book. Everybody else has.
It's a rumor.
No, it's not a rumor. It's true. But what do you rate this album?
I'm going to give it a 4.5, too.
You won't give fives out on albums, will you?
That's not very many.
Master of Puppets is one of the few fives I could name right off the top of my head. There's nothing wrong with Master of Puppets. That's the most perfect album ever, probably.
You think?
I think. I'm pretty damn sure.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of good albums out there. And this is one of them, but it's not.
It's one of them, but I'm just saying perfect from start to finish. There are a couple weak songs on Painkiller.
Yes, there is.
That Leather Rebel, that should have been on... What's the album after... Turbo, I can never think of the name of that stupid album.
Ram It Down.
Ram It Down. I couldn't think of it last time we did a Priest album. Ram It Down is terrible, man. That's where Leather Rebel should have belonged.
Come
on
man.
Ram
you know
It
that
Down.
Johnny Be Good's your favorite song they ever did.
The best song on that album is I'm a Rocker. And it's not a very good song, but it's
Blood
it's,
Red Sky is on that album too. That's a good song.
It would have been better on Turbo.
Yeah.
It was left over from Turbo anyway. I don't know. We're done with the whole thing. We're not going to review Ram It Down ever. I won't
we're
review
rambling.
Ram It Down.
Michael Myers.
Dude, I'm done.
All right, everybody. That's all we got for Judas Priest Painkiller. Thanks for watching, listening, however you do us. as Carl plays on his thing.
I've already checked out of the show, so
you
yeah.
Checked out.
Yep.
Check us out on the social medias. Leave us a review. We ain't had a review in forever, man, on Apple. I think the last person that reviewed us was Boyd Wright. Back in like March. Yeah. I think it's been like March since we've had a Apple review. We would greatly appreciate it. And hit that like and subscribe on the YouTube, everybody. And
what do you got on your hat?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to show my hat. Fuck. Check it out. Am I not close enough?
No.
You see it now?
No.
How about now?
No. There you go. I see it.
You see it? Who is that, Carl?
Tell me.
That's our buddy Chris Mena's band. What's the name of the band, Carl?
Brett, but you don't remember the name of the band? This Corporate is the name of the band.
I was waiting for you to say it.
I forgot.
Didn't
just admit
no,
it.
I didn't.
Yes, he did.
I can read it right on my hat. What do you think?
You can't even see your hat. It's on your head, you geek.
But yeah, he's got a new album out, man. It's awesome.
And we're going to be talking about that very, very, very soon.
Yeah, we're going to try to get him on the show next week. So if everything goes well. So, all right, everybody, that's all we got. And stay
Ciao.
With everybody. Bye.
calls me. What you give me.